Hey, folks, and welcome to this week's podcast. Interesting one today. A few weeks ago, I noticed that NRBQ was coming to Jersey City, really just less than a mile away from the radio station. And so I reached out and said, if you, the guys wanted to drop by for a little chat, I would love to kind of just see what's going on with the gig, with the tour, with the band, with the plans. And they were receptive. Yes, we'd love to. We think we can do it. We'll get back to you and confirm. And I did not hear until that same morning, yesterday, a few weeks later, hear, okay, yes, we can do it. And John and Casey will drop by the rhythm section, the drummer and bass player. So they got caught in some traffic. They were supposed to be here for a little, for about an hour. We were going to play some records and talk. And since they were just here for a half hour, we just chatted. So this is just the three of us having a real lighthearted, interesting, I think interesting anyway, conversation about the band and their personal experiences in the band and how the band works and a little bit about what they do outside of the band. And NRBQ, my favorite operating American band right now. They are just great. I don't know how long there will be an NRBQ, and I urge you to go. If they come anywhere near you, go. It's just always good. It really, it's, you know, if you like this show, I promise you will like NRBQ. So anyways, hope you enjoy this. It is me and John Perrin and Casey McDonough, two super, super duper nice guys, both incredible musicians, really special people. Lucky to have, you know, folks from my favorite band to chat with on a Saturday morning. Just great guys. So here it is. Enjoy it. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Whatever holidays you're into. Hope it's going well. And thanks for support. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk soon.
Yes.
There is a live NRBQ. And here comes John, here comes Casey. How are you guys? Welcome to WFME.
Doing
Welcome
great,
back.
Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great. Big show tonight, just like a few blocks from here over at White Eagle Hall, Jersey City. This is a seated show. I've never seen a seated show at this venue. So folks who are, I don't know, have arthritic conditions, you know, you're welcome to come.
Every venue is a seated venue for me.
For you. Oh, yeah, that's true, because you play the drums.
Sometimes.
Let me see. Why isn't that working too good?
Yeah, we've never been to this place. Is it good?
That is not. Go to the next mic, because that one sucks.
How about this?
That one's awesome.
Hello. Right. Hello. Hello.
Okay, that's better. Thank you.
We've never been to this White Eagle Hall.
Yeah, it's good. It's like the Bowery Ballroom, only in New Jersey, a little smaller maybe. Last night you guys were in my father's place.
Glencove.
In Glencove, Long Island.
All right, here's a question. You walk into a venue, because you guys, band at your level, you could be playing like a brand new performing arts center or a shed or a small club or whatever. What do you like to see? When you walk into a club, you go, good sign, they have X.
Cold Perrier.
Yeah, that counts.
The unrefrigerated Perrier has been a thing recently. So we got high hopes for White Eagle. You know,
all right, guys, you heard
got it. Got a mini fridge.
I agree. Like, who wants warm seltzer? There's nothing less refreshing in the world. Okay, Bob on the message boards wants to know, who was better, the Banana Splits or the Archies?
Pass.
Don't want to get political.
You know, I think it gets down to whether you're a Jughead fan or a Flegal fan.
It's true. Who's a better drummer?
I like a dog, and I like a crown hat. In equal measure, so I'm really not going to pick.
There are some good drum breaks on those Archie records, so I think Jughead is a bit underrated. The Montmaster wants to know, do they have any idea how the set will unfold, or does it just flow from Terry spontaneously?
It flows from Terry pretty spontaneously.
Yeah, we're pretty in tune with one another. Yeah. I don't know.
Is it ever like a baseball catcher, pitcher, where you shake it off, you know, no?
Oh, no. I mean,
there's.
Sorry,
go ahead, John.
No, there's. I mean, there's times, especially when we'll be playing something, and I'll like mid song, I'll just start thinking like, ah, that would be feel really good to play next. No communication with anybody, and then before I know it, he's starting the song I thought right. about next.
It's a more of a telepathic situation at yeah. this point. So, John, how many years in the band for you?
7 on November 24th.
And Casey, how many for you now?
10 as of September 28th.
Amazing. Congratulations to both of you. You know, when the band, because the band sort of broke up, and then Terry was playing under a different name and then changed the name of the band to NRBQ, and for a while there were some people who were not happy about that or whatever, and there were still people who emailed me in the past couple days being like, I can't go to see it. It's not NRBQ. I'm here to say that it totally is NRBQ, 100%, world's greatest band. There's something that just every time I see you guys just blows my mind. It's like no other band. It is like the widest definition of what pop music can be, and that's what I want. There's like a thread, but it's as wide off the thread as you can be, but the thread still runs through mm-hmm. it. Is there a secret? And I think I asked this to Scott when he was on the program. Is there, you know, like when they get a new president, they bring out the launch codes and they give it to him? Is there like a secret thing that Terry says, here's all you got to do?
No.
I mean, I think I probably mentioned this to you. With me, there was just the blood initiation. And
right.
Then I was in. Right. That was it.
I mean, the thing about it is, too, I think it like, playing music together comes so naturally just because we are so close in mentality and
yeah.
taste. You know, I think before I joined, maybe there was some nerves about that, but, you know, Terry's the only other guy I know who collects 78s. So that like, I mean, the only other person I know, you know.
You said as you were sitting down, you needed to find out where the record stores were around here.
Yeah,
so is that basically your pre-show thing, like find the record stores?
Oh, yeah. At least mine.
Yeah.
Mine
record stores, coffee. I like to go sit by a river if there's one to dig.
There's one two blocks from here.
There's a big one right yeah. over here. I heard of that
it's
one.
It's awesome yeah. one, yeah. It's lovely. I often walk down there before the show and just stare at it. It's great.
Yeah.
And there's a little boardwalk you can walk down to the giant Colgate clock.
Oh, neat.
Oh, yeah. That'll be good.
Worth doing. Take a dip.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah
maybe. So how long is this tour in 2022? How many shows did you guys play about?
I swear we did at least 75.
Something like that, yeah.
I think we probably worked the most this year out of the 7 years I've been in.
And for you, what's the right number of shows? You want to play 200 shows a year if you could?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because, you know, a list of dates can sometimes feel a little crazy. Like, you know, you know exactly where you're going to be 6 months out. But it's pretty amazing to just be on this journey and to be completely in the moment for every one of them. That's the only thing that really matters, I think, is like that you're in the moment for each show. Whether I mean this trip, I think this week we're only doing 2 shows, but
how do you accomplish that?
Being in the moment,
yeah.
Just completely focused. I mean, you have to let go of everything else
yeah,
by the time you get on.
You just have to let yourself go.
But that's the thing, is if
not
you,
like, boy, he really let himself go. You just need to, you know, like Tony Bennett, let yourself go.
Yeah, that's the only way you can really do this, though. I mean, especially with the way we play, is to just completely, you know, give in to the moment and what's happening around you and listening to each other and you know.
Are there folks in your personal life who, or stuff that just goes by the wayside, like, you know, because you're putting so much dedication to this? I would imagine it might be.
I don't know. I wouldn't say so.
Yeah. It can be. It can be. You just need to keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah, I mean it. You know,
but you're juggling too.
Yeah,
there's phones for a reason. I can FaceTime my dog. That's okay.
Sure, he loves yeah. it. All right, let's talk about let's go each guy's instrument. Casey, bass.
I do play bass.
You play the bass. Like that, like Bill Murray in that Mr. Rogers.
Oh yeah, egg a muffin.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you say egg a muffin?
What kind of? You usually use a Music Master, is that right?
I play. Yeah, I have a Fender Music Master that I've modified quite a bit over the years. I've had it longer than my friend sitting next to me has been alive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's true.
That's awesome.
That's actually true.
And what kind of strings are on it, and what'd you do to it?
Old strings. No, I like the, if I can give them a plug.
Sure.
I don't know if they need the business or not. I use the GHS Precision Flats.
Because?
Because I like them best. It's like a good mix of solid, thumpy, flat-wound string, but you can still play it a little bit. Others tend to be too stiff.
A little bit of boing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what you need, I think, yeah. And one of the amazing things about your job is that you are playing, Joyce Pompanato is one of the top 2-3 bass players who ever lived, and he does it inside out. He does it differently, stepping into that must have been a little weird, scary, and fun.
All of the above. Yeah definitely. It's a thrill to get to play, to get to
play with me?
Thrill wouldn't necessarily.
Was there a song or two that gave you trouble?
I don't want to say nah, but nah.
Nah. Please. This whole thing?
I knew what I was doing when I signed on.
Sure. Your life preserver's under the seat in case necessary.
Exactly.
Yeah, you won't need it. Yeah. And then the drums. Am I right that you do not hit the snare as hard as you did 5 years ago?
Well, it depends on the situation,
On average.
Every show is different.
I think you've dialed it back one or two notches.
I use lighter sticks now. That's probably got something to do with that.
Why is that?
Muscle problems.
Your hands got tired.
Yeah. I mean, if you spend a lot of years hitting hard, you like, drums are a real physical thing that you kind of have to watch your body with. So, I mean, once a year I go back and kind of, we'll sit down on a practice pad and make sure I'm not going to do anything that's going to permanently injure myself. But, yeah, I mean, it depends on where we're playing to, every show is different.
I found that out like, putting up molding that I was hammering really, really hard, and like that, it's very bad for you.
Yeah. Luckily, drums have more rebound than
don't
than
hammer
those things. Yeah,
that's my okay. You guys did a bunch of shows opening for Bonnie Raitt this year.
Yes.
That must be super fun. How many minutes do you do? And I assume like there's some part of the audience that has every record, and another part of the audience that's like, who are these guys?
Right.
Any difference? Are you guys? I mean, you guys just go do 100% every time. Is there any difference to those shows?
Only in as much as like it's a 40-minute set, maybe, or 45 minutes. Which, when we're doing our thing on our own, we've got all night. So there's a totally different flow, totally different kind of structure. In this sort of thing, it's more like we're trying to get to a bunch of different peaks in a much more condensed time frame.
You got a bunch of different, subjects to hit on. And, I mean, our normal show is usually, 120 or something like that? 90 to 120. But that was one of the most amazing things about doing that. I really was blown away by Terry's calls every night. Because at every show, we did 8 shows, every show felt exactly like a normal NRBQ show, which it's you're trying to get that same amount of work done in a third of the time,
right?
And Bonnie's amazing, her band's amazing, her new record's great.
A lot of Beach Boys questions for you when you're backstage.
More Ruddles. But
fair enough.
We all had such a great time, and we're going to be amazing doing it again.
Yeah, you guys are going out in the spring. Where to?
We're going to be with them, I think, in
Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville and
Indianapolis and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
All the big markets,
I think. Yeah.
Including Terry's hometown.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's going to be really special.
Once my van was towed in Louisville, bad news.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh.
Watch the van. That's my
touring advice.
Don't hammer and watch the van. Those are my two touring advices. So let's talk growing up. Once your first NRBQ thing, I mean, because for most people, they didn't hear it on the radio growing up.
I first heard them. I was in a college bar. We dropped a friend off at his college on the north side of Chicago. We'd just come from Memphis, and we went and shot pool across the street. And there was a song being played on the jukebox, and it's actually lost to memory. I don't remember what song it was, but I was compelled to return to the jukebox when the song played a second time and find out who this is. And it was this NRBQ. I heard of NRBQ. So this is what they sound like, as if you could tell that from one song.
Was it a 45 or a CD?
I don't even remember. Huh. I think it was a modern CD jukebox by that point.
Yeah, a friend of mine once told me, like, he resisted NRBQ for a while because he always thought they were that band with an electric piano. You know,
oh, yeah.
Like, you know, who wants Billy Joel or whatever, you know, like. But so it takes a minute. And from then it was off to the races for you, Casey?
It was a gradual thing. I mean, there's so much music.
Yeah.
To absorb.
Which is great, though. If you jump on the train late, you can just kind of... For me, Uncommon Denominators was the first CD. Actually, the Christmas record was the first CD thing. And then Uncommon Denominator. And then that became useless because then I had to buy every record that, you know, everything. Now I have them all.
Really?
Yeah. And for you, your dad just made you listen to it?
No. Well, my dad never made me listen to anything. And yeah, that's a.
I get the feeling your crib had, like, you know, quad speakers and an 8-track. You know?
Yeah, it's. I just had to look this up because, as far as I can tell, my very first memory of NRBQ might have been when I was 4 or 5, and I remember this outfit that Keith Spring used to wear. I don't even think I've ever told Terry this, but it. I remember seeing it on a record cover, and it looked kind of like a big robe, and it had these huge collars with stars on it. I can't even really remember being able to talk, although I'm sure I could, but I just remember thinking, like, that looks so cool. And then eventually, you know, that image is my first memory of NRBQ, is Keith Springs. You know, jacket, and then the music came later. But
the visual.
Yeah, I remember hearing the God Bless Us All record being played a lot, you know. Yeah. I think probably when I was 6 or 7.
Speaking of records, are we into making the next NRBQ record?
Oh yeah, we're always working.
Exactly.
How much are we into it?
Well, that sounds like some classified information. Right?
Yeah.
Blink twice for 50%.
We'd have to give you the bat spray so you didn't remember.
Oh, right. You know. Okay, I don't want that. I don't see your utility belt, actually. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think we're going to be working, you know, pretty hard on that.
Good.
Coming up. Dragnet was so much fun to make that, you know, we want to get back in quickly.
Last time we spoke in Montclair this summer, I was kind of asking how you work up songs or whatever for the record. You guys looked at me like I was an idiot, like as if the songs just happen, you know, like as if that's the way every band does it. It's not, just right. FYI for you guys. There's a certain magic. You go in the studio, you guys all play together, and then you sit around and say, what do we overdub on this? And a question I think that people often discuss this moment in recording is, how do you know when it's done?
Yeah. Well, you know, as my mom would say when cooking, when it looks right.
Yeah.
Do you sometimes all disagree? Maybe we need to try one more, add a little more thing on it?
I think it's usually a pretty unanimous thing. I at least with my experience with us recording, we all kind of seem to feel the same way, you know.
So a record like Dragnet, are there more? Do we start more tracks than end up on the record, or is that?
Yeah, I think, you know, for a while, because our touring schedule was so heavy, we would kind of come in a few days earlier, a few days after. So there's a bunch of stuff that we've done, even with me, in the past 7 years that isn't, you know, out.
Yeah.
That's always being worked on.
Huh.
I mean, Terry's Terry's been continuously working on stuff for, you know, there's stuff that's been around for a long time. There's stuff that's brand new. It's just always a stream of getting stuff together. And yeah.
Let's talk about songwriting. You write more songs than you, but you both have written songs on NRBQ Records. Is it like a lightning strike? Is it take a small idea and work on it?
For me, it's usually, something'll hit me, and like either just a phrase or a title or some words, and I'll think, oh, that sounds cool. I try to not force it. I try to just let it happen. So I'll let it stew in my head for a while, and then sort of all of a sudden, it could be months later, it could be later that day, it'll all just kind of come out.
Gestation period.
All at once, yeah. So it's like the rough draft is really only maybe the song title, and the verse will go like this, and then however much later, the entire song kind of just comes out.
Do you write, like Ron Sexsmith was on the show, and he said that he writes all his songs in his head 100% before he touches an instrument, and Kim from the Muffs said she writes all the songs with fake words and then writes the words 100% after. Guys from Teenage Fan Club write all the music first and record the record in the recording studio and then write the lyrics.
Wow.
How do you do it?
There's so many different ways. I think that's kind of the beauty of it, is if way kind of just, if it's not doing anything for you, move on to the next. And, you know, that was the amazing thing for me, because I write a lot of music and it just kind of stays, you know, on my laptop. And so, like, with with Memo Song, the song I have on here, I just kind of sent a demo of it to Terry just for him to hear. And I was not expecting him at all to say, like, hey, yeah, let's do that. So I had a instrumental track of that for a long time, and then I was just driving around listening to it, and it kind of just popped out.
Start singing along to your own tune?
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, that's going to be an NRBQ song, that's wild. And then I'm going to have to play it in front of people. That's right.
Sometimes
even more wild.
John plays guitar on stage, plays some keyboards on stage. I don't think I've ever seen you play the bass, but you probably have.
It's been immortalized on the internet.
It's always fun. You guys love changing around?
Yeah. Yeah, we've all played every instrument on stage.
I think Terry loves playing the drums maybe more than any of you love anything.
Like, he's a percussionist.
Yeah,
even when he's not playing the drums.
Right,
he's got his own thing going on for sure. Yeah, with the drums. Well, I know we discussed this once on the telephone, but Can't Wait to Kiss You, best song of the year that year it came out. That is such a number one song, so congratulations.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you again.
I mean, number one. It doesn't get more numbery than that. Tonight, White Eagle Hall in Jersey City. Good venue, good sound, good bartenders, good beverages, and it's a seated show tonight, which is excellent. NRBQ, your very last show of the year. Again, this is sort of hard, because I know that there are many people listening who literally have every 27 whatever NRBQ albums in their house, often in multiple formats like I do. And then there's people who are like, NRB what, you know? So what should, is it a fair question? What can folks expect tonight who don't know what it is? Because I'm telling folks, go see this band. I'll guarantee you'll like it.
Right.
It's hard to say anything more than that. You know,
yeah.
Well, what do you have to like abstractly to like this?
Fun, happiness,
good music, happiness,
good times, you know, dancing, energy,
good band interplay, you know,
melody, harmony,
melody, chord
harmony.
Changes,
yeah, you know,
lyrics, whole bit,
GHS string usage, all the good things,
sonar drums,
hashtag. Yeah.
Hashtag promark. It's hard to say. I mean, you know, we never know what's going to happen at a show. I mean, we play off the environment so much, but it's always going to be good. We're at a point as a band right now that I'm really proud of, where it's like, no matter if we're tired or whatever, we can kind of get up and play really well. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and it, I mean, mind blow for me every time. You know, in the, from the audience perspective. Mm-hmm. What else have you guys got going on? Because I know you both do a lot of other stuff. John, there's like, I know that like you were on like Letterman when you were like 11 or something. It's like, and you've been, oh, yeah. You know,
that's where I know you from.
In Brazil, like playing to 20,000 people in like a Beatles kind of band and like all these things.
Well,
any of that going on?
The only thing that matters is that I'm with NRBQ tonight. That's all I can say.
At the White Eagle Hall in Jersey City.
Yeah.
Casey, you are like,
it's in the moment, man.
Session man of Chicago, like playing on all good records, like every record you play on, every record you touch. Amazing. Like anything in the can we need to know about?
Well, there is some I think Rami and the Reliables stuff we've been recording that's hopefully going to come out before too long. Hot on the heels of Dragnet, the new NRBQ album on Omnivore Records.
Yeah.
I
thought we would play a bunch of music and talk, but we just ended up talking. That's fine. If folks want music, they can.
I like talking to you, Michael. Sure. This has been a blast. Thanks for having us.
It's totally my pleasure. Hey, we got 2 minutes here. Oh, we got a minute and 40 seconds. Hey, Rex, why don't you bring your first cut in, buddy?
I see records over there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of records in the record. There's actually a copy of Workshop in there.
Really?
Original copy. A lot of the records got stolen. Apparently, like, all the DJs in 1968 or something, you know, stormed out and took over the... Because this used to be part of a college. Yeah, and they went into the dean's office and, you know, brought a donkey in there or whatever. I don't know. And
Brandon, we're looking at you.
Dean Wormer was very upset. And
oh, man.
And a lot of the records disappeared at that point. But so no one stole the NRBQ record. Well, we've got about 1 minute. Casey McDonough, John Perrin, tonight with NRBQ. Is there horns tonight? What do we got?
Clem.
We got Clem on the saxophone.
Clem on the saxophone. Yeah. Come on down. I really do think this is America's greatest band. Have you guys seen Marty Stewart and the Fabulous Superlatives?
I have.
I never have.
They're also America's greatest band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love them. I'm pals with Chris Scruggs.
Oh, God. I mean, that guy's outrageously good. I mean, every guy in that band is outrageously good.
Yeah, they really are.
That's four guys in a band who can all lead their own band and do, and then they come together and it's like too much nitroglycerin in one thing, and then it obviously explodes. Hey, Rex, come in here, please.
Hey, there's Rex.
Or don't. Do you guys know Rex?
We just met.
Rex is the greatest.
Howdy.
Again, I'm not Michael's lackey. I'm a host.
He's not Michael's lackey. Understand.
He's not just the doorman. He's also a host. Tonight, NRBQ at White Eagle Hall in Jersey City. Thank you, Rex, for just being you. Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon. It's WFMU East Orange, WMFU Manhattan, New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online over at WFMU.org. Thank you, guys. And
thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. See you tonight.
Oh, totally my pleasure.
I will wait for you if that's what I have to do to be with you. I can't explain how you get to me like you do. Oh, you shine so bright, even on the darkest night. Make the whole world smile. I never felt so free as when you're holding me. Oh, I think you know, but I'm gonna show you how. You're everything. all because